back to Constantly Varied, episode 40. Thank God it's been like Hooray. 2 years in the 30s.
Yeah, yeah. There's 52 weeks in the year. We're doing the podcast like...
Sort of weekly.
Yeah, kinda. I think that's the problem. We do it sort of weekly, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's been crazy. It's started a year, so we haven't been exactly every week.
Yeah.
But yeah, we finally reached episode 40 and we get to talk about the next performance quarter.
Hooray.
The Open is over. It was Hooray. Amazing. It was hard, but it was...
Yeah.
I thought it was really successful. 3 weeks. Really enjoyed it. It was the first time I did all three workouts myself. Like the full thing in a long time, which is great. Normally I get some of them in.
Yeah.
And I think overall there was a lot of wins and just generally the vibe was great around the place. Also, delighted it's done so we can move on to the next quarter. I've been really looking forward to getting to this new setup.
We've been talking about this since the start of the year really as well. Like we've all not waiting for the Open to be over, but there's an element of we want to get to this as a coaching team.
Yeah, because this new set of performance tests are really exciting.
Yeah.
I can't wait. So, as usual, we have a new game day coming up, and that'll be mid-June, so it'll be early summer game day. The doors will be open, the sun will be shining. It's going
to
be amazing.
Dates to be confirmed.
Yeah, we'll tell you dates in the next week or so. We're just getting them finally secured, and then we'll post them on our socials.
Mm-hmm.
Then we also have these two in-class performance tests that we do in the back end of the quarter that we know we're getting ready for. One day they're going to show up and we're going to be ready for them. And in all of the prep for these things, we're going to move on our fitness game in a big way.
Yeah. So before we get into these, because we're going to talk about them, why we're doing them, et cetera, et cetera. But I'd love to, I think this is important. I've worked in a couple of different CrossFit gyms and even this style of training is quite new to the way we're doing it here, this like set a game day, train for it, pardon me, but still maintain a sense of variance within our training. Like we get quite narrow in what we're focused on, yet we still try and touch on everything all the time. And this is a pretty unique aspect to BUA, definitely. It's new to what you've done here, but it's very different to how every other gym does it as well. Can we really quickly touch on why we do it this way, where does it all come from, like maybe the thinking and philosophy behind it all?
Yeah, great show. Let's do that. Yeah, as you said, it's kind of new. Last year, we took a departure away from our old way of benchmarking our fitness to see, can we set ourselves up in a way that really shows us if we're getting better in the different areas? So we had a hard look at what the programming and the classes are trying to achieve overall. And we have this philosophy where we say, over a decade, we want to achieve specific things. So the list is measurable improvements across the full spectrum of fitness across a decade. Okay. So we'd say in 10 years, you're going to be way fitter in all aspects of fitness. The other thing we're going to do is improve our health span. So if we are making the bet that if we train and have our lifestyle factors in place the way we want to, that as we get later in life, we have a healthier and healthier quality of life as we get older. It's not just about living longer, it's about having a better quality of life as we get there. The third thing we're going to get is mastery of movement. We love this mastery thing. We know that it's a big motivator for us and we never want to stop learning. We never want to stop refining. We always want to be mentally engaged in the process, not just going along and trying to burn calories. It's not what we do. So over a decade, that's the promise. Over a year then, with that in mind, it's kind of similar. It's measurable improvements across the full spectrum of fitness in a year too. Yeah. So we'd like to see every aspect get better 12 months time. We'd also like to improve our health. So from where we are right now to in 12 months time, our health markers should be measurably, noticeably better. We're just feeling better and we're just more well in every way possible. And then there's also this third piece that our movement technique will improve. So it's not overall mastery, but our technique in all the different areas has improved from where we started right now.
Yeah.
So that's the year. Then we can draw it down to a quarter and say, like, in the 3 months, what do we want to achieve as part of that 1 year goal? So we've got measurable improvements in the quarterly performance markers, the tests that we've laid out. And what we do is design a set of tests that are not covering every element of fitness. They're just skewing it slightly to like one corner of it. And then the next one will skew it again, the next one again, but it'll still incorporate the vast majority of what we do.
Yeah.
So we still have that variance model that you talk about. We still get to do all of the different aspects of training in a quarter, but we would like to see measurable improvements slightly narrowed towards these four things. Yeah. Because narrowing it means we can get a little bit more progress and a little bit more measurable.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's been the big difference and the vitally important, like the biggest improvement, I think, to our programming. Over a 2-week period then, we try and hit the full spectrum of fitness. So we'll get exposure to it in some way, shape or form over a 2-week period. So that's kind of how we look at training, the programming, a 2-week block. And then we'd like to get lots of movement practice in that 2-week period as well. So if we get the practice, we get exposure every 2 weeks. In the quarter, we'll get improvement. And then over the year, we'll get the full spectrum over the 10 years.
See, when you say for the 2-week block in particular, you're like, we get exposure to the spectrum of fitness. What do you mean by that?
We get some power work, we get some strength work, we get some balance work, we get some speed work.
Mm-hmm.
We'd get all of the 10 elements that we're trying to improve, and we're trying to get exposed to them in different ways, like long time domains, short time domains, high intensity, low intensity, and everything in between. So when we say exposure, we get a workout where we get that stimulus, we make that adaptation, and we make that progress.
So that's, even if we think about this idea of constantly varied, which CrossFit is known for, and we definitely have an element of that in what we do, but it's not randomness where we just randomly go snatch today, pull-ups tomorrow, long conditioning workout the day after that. It's like we have this 2-week block that we're always trying to make sure we haven't covered anything like this in the past 10 days. It needs to come in within the next 4 days, otherwise we're missing it. And it's always filling in the gaps that kind of way, isn't it?
That's it. Varied, not random. That's the phrase.
Varied, not random. I like that. This idea of game day makes me think of, like, back to my rugby. I know I always refer back to this, but back to my rugby days where, like, throughout a season and within preseason, you have to cover all the aspects of rugby. Like, you have to work on defense and attack. You have to work on set pieces. You have to work on, like, everything. Passing, tackling, it all needs work. But there's an element of, at the minute, as a team, we're not performing well in this area. So like Ireland during the World Cup were terrible at line-out time. They couldn't nail their line-out. And then for like the first 21 line-outs in the Six Nations just gone, they didn't miss one. They still worked on how to pass the ball, catch the ball, tackle, reading defenses, all of that jazz. But they obviously just went, we need to really dial in on this, spend an extra, I don't know, 2 hours a week focusing on it just to get that little element better, knowing that bigger picture, it makes everything a bit better, knowing that eventually we can go, right, our line arts are pretty solid. We have a 90% success rate. We're going to work on scrums now. And this is the kind of model that we're kind of, does that?
That captures it perfectly. That's exactly perfect. It. Because one of our favorite things here, I think for all of us, is the varied nature of the training. We want variance. We want to play with new movements. We want new movement challenges all the time. Mm-hmm. So we can't ever lose that. There might be a little bit more repetition in this model of some movements because we want to dial them in. So that's the one trade-off we have, like, oh, snatch comes up or something like comes up more often than usual. And we might say, oh God, we're working on this a lot. We have to try and embrace that and say, that's our opportunity, because next quarter we won't be, and the next quarter we won't be, more than likely. So this is our chance to get it dialed in for the year and embrace the narrowing of it, because there's still lots of variance, and we're really, really careful about making sure it still stays really varied within this model.
Yeah. It's a fun challenge, isn't it?
Amazing.
It's my favorite type of training too. I've been in a number of different gyms, and just to really contrast this, like the other typical style of training in CrossFit gyms is we do squats on Monday, like deadlifts on Wednesday, gymnastics on Tuesday, conditioning on Thursday, and then Olympic lift on Friday, just to give you an example. And it's maybe following that for 12 weeks where every Monday you do heavy squats, something like 5x5 week one, 6x5 week two. And it's this repetition that 100% works, but it kind of removes that element of excitement and novelty and what's coming up tomorrow. It's just very much, I'm not going to go on Monday this week because my knees are a bit sore. Like, we get rid of that. Every day is a little bit different. We definitely try and snatch, but we'll cover it in overhead squat form. We'll maybe do snatch balances. We'll do snatch deadlifts, like all these different focus.
We'll broad jump. We'll deadlift. Yeah. We'll do everything.
And these things are literally in the programming for the next week as well. So it's like we see the different ways we try and attack the different aspects of it rather than just say, here's the thing. We're going to do that thing and we're going to do it every day for the next, or every Monday for the next 12 weeks.
Yeah, the structure thing is, it's effective, but it's also, it's the motivation to continue doing this it.
Probably says a lot about our personalities here as well, doesn't it? Like the idea of structure in a lot of things really kills me.
Yeah, this repetition all the time. Yeah. The playing with the different movements is the key for us. We really enjoy it. It's part of what makes us who we are. So we'd never want to lose that. So you got to keep the variety.
So that was, I think, an important tangent, but a tangent nonetheless. Let's get into these tests. Will we start with game day?
Let's start with game day.
Yeah, go on then.
Yeah, our first test is one rep max snatch.
Oh, hooray!
Can't beat it.
I can't wait. Are we doing this as, we've done snatch before for game day?
We have.
But we did it as a get it over your head any which way, wasn't it? You could power snatch it or squat snatch it.
Yep.
Our most recent game day, we did heavy squat clean. So it was a very specific, no power clean. You didn't have to jerk it. What are the rules and terms and conditions of this snatch?
Yeah, we're going to go for a squat snatch.
Oh, amazing.
And if you can't, a power will be like you'll get as deep as you can, but we're going to train it to get as deep into our catch position this time. It's part of the rationale for choosing this is to improve our squat mechanics, our overhead squat mechanics. So we're going to get full squat snatch. We're going to have three attempts on game day, like the usual format.
Yes.
And we're going to hit a new one rep max.
Hooray. Why, like, not why snatch, because we love snatch. But say over the coming 12 weeks then, we're training for this. What are the additional training benefits for this? Because there's the competitive side of me that is like deadly. I want to go hit 100 kilo snatch again. And that's one thing. But there's the other side of me that's very, very much bought into the mission we have around athletic development. And whenever we're doing something, I want to know that there's a very direct or at least a subtly indirect transfer towards something else. So if I'm working on something that my coach tells me and that I know that this is also going to benefit me elsewhere. So whenever we're working towards a heavy one rep max snatch, that's very exciting and sexy. But what are the additional benefits that we can really get from
it? Yeah, and I think you've hit it there that we set ourselves up with these targets so that we've got a training process that supports it. And the training process is the point.
Yeah.
It's like, what do we get from training for this thing? So as you know, we've got this skill-based approach to fitness. We're not just trading calories for minutes on a treadmill. We want to be always learning, always in development. So as skill transfer movements go, snatch might be top of the list. We get so many other things. Like when we snatch well, there's 2,000 other things that get better as a result. And that's what we're there for.
Yeah.
We're there for the skill transfer to everything. We're definitely going to develop all the power, the strength, the speed that we need to get a new one rep max. But we're also going to become way more skilled movers in the process. And if you think about all of the different components of snatching, like the catch position, their setup position, how challenging each of those things are, if all of those things get better, we just see many other things get better. So we're just going to become way more athletic as a result. If we're going to do one thing for the rest of our life, this might be the thing.
So over the 12 weeks then, what can we expect to see within the program and that'll help us become more athletic, become stronger, become faster, all that jazz?
Yeah, so every time you'll see a power day, something where we're going heavy, we're trying to move heavy weight with our hips, with our legs, we're working on snatch.
Yep.
So every time you see that, those heavy days, that's probably in there. Same with strength days. If we're heavy back squatting, it's going to help it. Then we've got other things like the positional work. So we might do like a snatch group deadlift, which is already programmed in the next few days.
Yep.
We have overhead squats with mobility program the next few days. So we're going to work on the different, like what the body needs to do to get into these different positions, be stronger there, be more confident there. And then we're going to work on the speed of how transition between those few different positions as well. So we will see more snatch days, but it's not just going to be that. It's going to be every time we see us moving with power and with precision.
We're trying to almost direct our focus. So like a, for example, like a heavy back squat day, it's like, yes, we want to lift heavy today. We want to get better at back squat, but can we do it maybe in a more upright position with our feet exactly where we would catch our snatch in order to transfer very directly across to that?
100%.
So that's snatch. That's our first one done. Are we just doing one test on game day?
Of course not.
Of course not. What's the second one then?
So the second one is really interesting. I can't wait for this.
I'm so excited.
So we're going to do a Bronco.
Oh, I can't wait. Go on, tell the people. I've done many's a Bronco. Tell the people who don't know, what is a Bronco test?
Yeah, so it's a conditioning test that's used in field sports. You'll have done it through your rugby a lot, right? It's really well-known rugby, but it's in lots of field sports that use it. And it's a conditioning test that involves, very simple, we start on a line and you run out to the 20-meter line and back, and then out to the 40-meter line and back, and then the 60-meter line and back. And that's one round, and you do five rounds for time unbroken.
Four time. Amazing.
Yeah, so it's just running. It's usually somewhere between like 4 and 8 minutes sort of zone.
Yeah. World record's 4:11 apparently.
Okay. So there you go. So I think really fit people who like to run a lot might be trying to get sub 5. Mm-hmm. And then there'd be people the like me trying to get sub 10.
Exactly. Here, logistically, Santry's not 60 meters long, and it's the
And Celebrity certainly is.
Yeah, I was gonna say Santry's one of the bigger gyms. So
so we're gonna go off site for this.
Amazing.
That's the cool thing. So we're
gonna Road trip.
Road trip, yeah. So we're gonna go into the gym in the morning, get all of our lifting done, one rep max snatch, and then we're gonna go to a second venue. We're gonna have them, we're currently organizing the different venues, and we're gonna go and do it somewhere.
We're gonna pray that it's sunny.
Yeah, we're going to play that sunny, but it's going to be so much fun. We get out, it's going to be the summertime.
Yeah.
We're going to be out in the fresh air, and we're going to go and hit it. Yeah. There's also, we're looking at indoor venues as well, which would be Astro. It's another really good way to do it that would take the weather out of it. But we're going to see, we're playing around with different options at the moment. Either way, we're going to get some conditioning done.
We're definitely going to get fitter. Here, I have a general concern in my body at the minute. I can't wait to do this test. This is probably the most excited I've been for any game day ever, because it is like, I talk about rugby all the time, already mentioned it on the podcast, and this is like a really specific rugby test. We did it all the time. However, I don't like running like all the time. I bought running shoes last year and I've went running once in them. Like, they're pristine condition still. So are we going to be running on a more frequent basis, or how are we going to get better at this?
Yeah, so this was the big risk. The answer is no, we're not going to be running on a more frequent basis. We are really restricted in how much we can run at a lot of our gyms.
Yeah.
So you'll see running often shows up on a Sunday when the neighbors are not here, for instance. So we will definitely try and get running in where we can. But what we're really betting on here is that all of the training we do transfers to lots of other things. And like, I know it already does. I've trained lots of people to run crazy distances without having them doing any running at all. So we know it works. So what we're going to be doing is building our strength and power. We're going to be building our conditioning, our heart and lungs. We're going to condition the leg endurance so that the system is ready for it. We'll do some running to get conditioned for it. But no, like, we're going to stick with our training model, and then we're going to see, can we beat our time.
I can't confirm that this works. In 2017, I remember this vividly, I signed up for the Derry half marathon. It was in September, and I signed up in March, and I did two runs, like two deliberate, I'm going for a run today in preparation for this. Like, March to September is like 6 months. So about 2 weeks after I signed up, I went for a 5K. No big deal. I'd done them before. That was fine. That's the furthest I'd ever ran ever, though, like as a going for a run thing. Then in the middle of June, what turned out to be the hottest day of the year, I remember this so well, I went for a 10K run. That was the first time I'd ever ran more than 5K.
Wow.
And then in September, I went and did the half marathon, and I got it done in 1:52.
Oh, that's good going, eh?
No, I still did. Like, in my gym at the time, we did do some running, but it was like 200 meters, 400 meters, three rounds with like, and the wall balls and box jumps in the middle of the workout as well. So it wasn't going for, it's very different. Like, 400 meter runs on their own is not what you would typically think would get you ready for a 21K run.
No, absolutely not. So what we're saying is with the intensity levels that we produce inside the gym, that they have massive fitness benefits outside of just the time domain we train for. We are going to get plenty of those intervals that are between 4 and 8 minutes, that real pain zone where we have to go really fast, breathe really hard, and keep going. This Bronco test is there to force us to do that training, which is really difficult. But man, do we get fit and we get really healthy as a result. So we're going to be pushing our intensity levels on some days, in that it's not that 1 minute zone where we're going max effort. It's not the 10 minute thing. It's that in between awful Fran zone,
worstest,
where we have to really push and hurt,
yeah,
and do it multiple times. But this might be the opportunity to get as fit as you've ever been as a result of this training.
Something as well I'm wondering about, while we don't like go, right, let's go and test our snatch now, everyone kind of has an idea as to what they can snatch, because we do touch on it frequently throughout the year all the time. For some people, they are literally listening to this, Googling Bronco test, and they've never done it before. So what are we going to do about, like, we can't just test them at the end of 12 weeks and go, see, fitter.
Yeah, so not fitter, but you might feel more prepared.
Yeah.
We are going to give everyone an opportunity, though, to lay down a baseline in the next couple of weeks.
Nice.
So we will organize on a Saturday afternoon a spot to go meet, and we'll go and run a Bronco test. I would encourage everyone to go and do, and if you feel like, I might not even finish that,
yeah,
you should show up and lay down a baseline, because at least then you'll have a score to say, right, on game day, I want to do that thing and I want to be better at it.
Yeah.
You know it's good for you. We all know it's good for us. So it's a case of just going and getting involved, and don't worry if running is literally the bottom of your list. This is your chance to fill in that gap, yeah, and start attacking the weakness. That's where we have most potential to grow, when we go after the thing that we tend to avoid. So we'll put it up on our socials. We'll let you know the when and where's of the baseline test, but it'll be in the next couple of weeks. And I advise everyone to, if you're available, go and get it done. It is something you could do on your own.
One could do this on their own. I don't know if I'd recommend it on your own, but you definitely could. This is always, we always did Bronco preseason. So we did it the very first thing on preseason, first day. Everybody's back in training. So go get warm. You have 20 minutes on your own.
That's cruelty.
And then we're starting the test. And then it was like the last thing we did, say first match was on a Saturday, the Saturday before we tested again. And preseason was anything from 8 to, I think our longest was 16 weeks one time, because we were terrible the year before. But it's that idea of, you know, it's coming up in the first one. You know you're not quite fit enough for it. But then you have all this development. And then the second time you go do it, it's so funny, everyone coming into training that day, there's this air of like confidence going, like, we know how this is going to feel. We know that we like have to get fitter. We have to get a better score. But there's this real sense of, I think you mentioned it before, like, you know, when your legs are stronger, there's a sense of confidence. There's the same thing when you're noticeably fitter. When you know that you can just run faster for longer over greater distances, you're like, I can take on anything. And it's such an amazing feeling coming in and doing the Bronco the second time. So I'd highly recommend coming and doing the first one whenever it is announced as well.
Yeah, for sure. Get yourself down there, because it will, like you said, it will feel so good if you've got a score to beat, to go and smash it again in the sunshine. It'll be so nice.
So that's game day then. We have heavy snatch. Then we're going offsite doing Bronco test. This might be the best game day ever. I'm just putting it out there. It's going to be hard to beat next time around. We also have two in-season tests. That's how I kind of look at them, going with my rugby brain again. Do you want to tell us what the first mid...
So the in-class performance test we call it.
There we go. I was trying to think of the right words there. Go on.
Yeah, so our first one, we're going to do an open repeat. And it starts with a 24.
So it's one we've just done. Oh, you mean man.
24.2.
Two. That's the 20-minute AMRAP.
The row... the deadlifts and the double unders.
300 meter row, 10 deadlifts, 50 double unders. It is burned into my brain forever. We did this last year. Sorry, not this test, but this idea of doing open workout and then within the next quarter, repeat a thing. We did it for open day. We did 23-point open day, game day.
We did it for game day. So yes. We did 23.1,
yeah,
which was the 60 cal row, 50 toes to bar, 40 wall ball, 30 cleans, 20 muscle ups. Remember that?
AMRAP.
That thing. Amazing workout. Yeah. And then we retested in the summer and it was really successful. The amount of progress people made in those 3 months.
Yeah.
It was so tangible. It's like, I've just done this thing and it was in a test format. And now I'm just going to go and done it again in a test format. The difference was giant.
It was serious, yeah.
And it's really, it's got that recency thing. I've just done this thing. I've just left behind me and now I got to go and train for it and see, can I make improvement? Mm-hmm. So yeah, absolutely. I can't wait to see this one because it was the workout in this open, which I think everybody got most involved in.
Yeah.
And I think we'll have lots of people with a good score to beat. So I can't wait to see this one.
Yeah, this will be a cool one to do. So thinking of the 12 weeks and the lead up to testing this, then what are we working on to get better? That is it just a pure engine thing? Is it what are we going for here?
Yeah, so training for a retest 24.2 means building strength and power on the barbell and the rower, mm-hmm. and then it also means building efficiency and skill with the jump rope. So if you don't have double unders right now, it's something that you could work towards getting. But overall, this is an engine test. And I think we're trying to build a body that can outwork the body that existed a couple of weeks ago. So there is that engine side to this. I think the Bronco will help this as well. But this mixed modality, we add strength elements into it. We add skill elements into it. Can we keep executing those things at a slightly faster pace than we did 2 weeks ago? I think that's a really cool challenge. So the overall engine thing is huge. And then we've got the individual components, which we'll get a lot of benefits from too.
Yeah, I think this will complement the Bronco really well, where the Bronco is this short, almost pain cave workout, like go hunting for it and stay there. Whereas this one is almost like, how in control can you stay for 20 minutes while flirting with the idea of losing control the whole time?
That's a great way of putting it. That's the one. That's the one. Because I think you think of the people who went unbroken on the barbell and relatively unbroken on the rope. Like, where can you make an improvement?
Yeah.
Well, you got to push the rower faster. You got to make your transitions a bit faster. You got to cycle the barbell a little quicker. And you got to push the pace on the jump rope a little quicker. Yeah. It's like just dialing everything up. And you're saying flirting with it is flirting with disaster.
Yeah.
Because if you think you just do it too much, you know that it's going to cost you so bad in like 4 minutes.
Yeah.
And you still have lots of more minutes to go. So building the confidence in your engine, the self-awareness in your engine of what pace you can hold on the rower, on that number, how quickly you can get to the barbell, how quickly you can cycle it. Like, that's going to be where a lot of the progress will be made. But, you know, if we make all that progress, our body will just be able to outwork the previous version of ourselves. That's what the main thing about it is.
Alongside all that as well, there's this movement mastery element to it. Like, for for 4 rounds, like almost halfway through the workout for me, I was feeling amazing, really confident in what I was doing, and I'd gone unbroken in all my double unders, and then I snagged.
Oh.
And everything went. My row got slower. I broke up my deadlifts deliberately. Like, everything just felt like not that my confidence crumbled, but it just went, oh.
The doubt came in.
Yeah, the doubt came in. And it all came from just a lack of consistency in double unders in one round. So there's and I'm good at double unders, but there's a mastery element and a skill element and an efficiency element to the double unders that I imagine we're going to have to work on as well here.
I think the double under is a hidden, really important component in this workout. Because it is the first sign that things are starting to creak when the snag happens, right? Because maybe just the bounce is going out of your calves or the rope speed or your heart rate's disturbing your timing a little bit. So I think getting to a point where, you know, those people that we picture on the double unders, like I saw Pa doing his double unders in this workout and he's like, is he doing singles? I looked at him. He just looks so chilled out on us. And you could see that he was recuperating an awful lot of energy on the double unders, where other people, it was destroying their workout because they were snagging so much. They were having to fight, pull their knees up, fight for rope speed. And it's just that extra effort that you don't want to have to go looking for in the middle of a 20-minute workout.
Yeah.
That if you can be that person who is just consistently perfect, breathing, relaxing, thinking, this is where I'm walking away from my competition. I'm just creating a gap here because these for me are easy. I think if we can get ourselves to that point where we've built that efficiency and mastery with it, like you said, then we're going to go into it with another layer of confidence that they're bulletproof.
Yeah.
And I'm also looking forward to getting to them, not dreading them.
Cool. So we have one final test to get into here. Go on, drum roll. What's the last one?
So our last one is a brand new test, and it's an upper body strength test.
Hooray.
That's a two-parter.
Oh.
The first part, it's the NFL Combine Bench Press Test, a variation of that.
Few.
Yeah, few, exactly. So we've got a bench press test coming up.
Nice.
And then the second part is a pull-up test. So we do as many strict pull-ups you can in a minute, take a minute off. We do another minute of as many strict pull-ups as possible, take a minute off, and then a third minute of as many strict pull-ups as possible. And we combine all those together for a score.
Amazing. So just loads of pull-ups and loads of benching.
Exactly.
The NFL Combine Test, let's talk about that. What is it? Why are we doing it? How is it going to fit into the next 12 weeks of our lives? Like, what's that all going to look like? Yes. So what is it first?
So it's a test where, you know, the NFL, they do this combine event where they get all of these new football players are going to try and draft into their teams, and they put them through a series of fitness tests.
It's like an athletic pageant show.
Exactly. It's very fun to watch.
Yeah.
People are doing their sprints and their lifts and their, so we're seeing like what they're capable of physically. And the bench press test is a simple single set of bench press. They have it at a set weight. We're going to set the weight slightly lower than theirs, right?
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit. And you just get to do as many reps as you can. There's a movement standard, and you just have one attempt at doing as many reps as possible. Okay. So that's the test we're going to do. And then the second part, we're just going to go into our pull-ups, and same deal.
So we're doing all this on the same day in class? In the same class. Perfect. Why are we doing... We haven't done a test like this before. It's always... What's the right word? More CrossFit-y?
Yeah.
For lack of a better word. Like, it's a bit more conditioning-esque. There's a multiple of multiple components to it. Like, bench press is the least CrossFit thing of all time. And then strict pull-ups are not what we're traditionally known for either, although we do a lot of them. So where has this come from, and why are we doing it this way?
Absolutely, yeah. You're dead right. It is a little different, right? So this comes directly from the open. A lot of us ran into those chest bars or muscle-ups in the open in that last test. And if we really want to take our gymnastics game and move it on a level, we have to build the foundation of strength. It's on this foundation of strength that we layer all those skills on top of. And we can tend to get sucked into the skills all the time, practicing, 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 where the base level of strength really dictates an awful lot of it. So we said, how can we set ourselves up this quarter to be really focused, really narrow focused on getting that strength foundation built? So after that, when we start introducing more kipping back into it, we'll be able to just go much higher, more reps, etc. We're still going to do lots of kipping this quarter. We're still going to do lots of skill work. So no stress about that. But this test at the end of it will force us to really get upper body strong. You also notice that the bench, like, we don't bench press, right?
We don't have benches.
Because we don't have benches. But very soon we're going to.
So new toys, yay.
New toys. So over 30 benches will be arriving across the five gyms in the next couple of weeks. And we're going to start seeing the bench press, the chest press, the different ways we can use the bench to get upper body strong, introduced into the programming. And one of the reasons this has been a plan for quite a while, we use an awful lot of gymnastics to get upper body strong, but it's not a very scalable weight-wise. We're lifting our body weight all the time, so we weigh what we weigh, right?
What do we call it? Invisible improvements when it comes to gymnastics, isn't it?
Exactly. So what we've got with a bench now is the opportunity to go heavier or lighter on a barbell and find the right stimulus to get the right strength response so that we can start moving forward in that strength domain. So I think this is going to be our biggest progress in terms of upper body strength we'll have ever made in these three months.
And there's a new movement to go and play with. Like, it's not a new movement in terms of movements. Like, it's not something we've invented. It's a very old school movement that we don't get to do very often, and a lot of people probably haven't done before, or a lot of people haven't done in a long time. So it'd be nice to like start refining, or here's where this goes and think of this when you're doing that. And there's that play element of it as well, isn't it?
Absolutely. Just adapting to the bench press, because it's a different thing. We've been floor pressing, doing push-ups, doing dips, doing all the things, but the bench press is its own thing for us to go and play with. And yeah, I cannot wait to get into it in classes.
Well, that's all very exciting, isn't it? Here, we might actually get a bit more jacked as well. I mightn't have such skinny arms at the end of this if we're doing all these pull-ups and benching. I think this is some of the most exciting programming we've done in a long time. Like, I'm really, really looking forward to this. Zooming out, over the next 12 weeks, we have these four tests that we're training towards. Like, what's going to be... There's James today that's mostly capable. What's the James in 12 weeks' time post-game day going to be able to do that I currently can't? What's going to be the difference between us?
Yeah, that's a good way of framing it. So I think when you look at the four things we're training for, we can promise that the upper body strength is going to be through the roof. The lower body, like power, speed, and strength with the snatch is going to go through the roof as well. So we're going to have a lot more like speed, strength, power overall. Then from a conditioning point of view, we've got that shorter time domain with the Bronco, that pain zone that none of us want to be in, at that pace that we don't want to hold. We're going to be able to do that, and that's going to transfer right out across the spectrum. And then we've got this longer mixed modality piece where we can mix different movements and keep moving for 20 minutes plus. So I think we've got a lot of the spectrum of fitness covered in those alone. So I think we're just going to be far more capable, a lot more healthy, and just feel like ready for a big summer of training.